We're here, but driving from Detroit, Michigan, is Liz Ulrich with her one-year-old son, who's going to the airport to pick up Yvonne. And, of course, she'll be with us tomorrow also to worship. Liz has asked for our church to provide discipling for her. They want to be a part of discipling. Yvonne is looking to move here. We're also getting phone calls from Iowa. A woman named Laura is calling. She wants to come and visit, and then she wants to move here. She feels like she's hitting rock bottom and wants to be a part of a discipling group. There's one more in Iowa. Oh. No. Mariah. Mariah's been calling. We've been missing each other. But she said, you know, I've been out of it, but I still want to go forward and move here. We need to pray for these women. And then also, we have a little satellite ministry in Michigan. So we've got Mary Kay Canales. And she wants to be a part of a discipling ministry. And then we've also got Jolie and her husband John, who's studying the Bible. Jolie wants to be a part of a discipling ministry that's going to help evangelize the world. You know what? That's what we're a part of. And we've got to see that people are moving from around the world, willing to move from around the world, willing to make great sacrifices, willing to travel 5 hours, and this is what they want to be a part of.
Yeah.
A lot of people say they want to do things for God. But for those of us who've been around for 20 or 30 years, we saw what God did, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
We saw hundreds of churches and tens of thousands of disciples, and we saw what God did. And many of us saw how, because of sin, that stopped. However, we have begged God to be merciful. We've begged God to be gracious. And we have begged God, God, if we've fallen off the horse, please help us get back on. And help us to do your will. That's the only thing we want to be a part of. Jesus' ministry. A ministry where God is present and where disciples are being made. We don't want to do anything else because we've seen that for some, the kingdom is a matter of talk. And 20 years can go by, and like the Israelites in the wilderness, they went around in a circle for 40 years. We don't want any part of that. We don't want that. And so we are at a crossroads. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. It says, this is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is. Walk in it and find rest for your souls. There is only rest when we're about the work of Jesus. Amen?
Yeah.
That's the only place we'll find rest. As far as the ancient path, that's God's word. The path Jesus is calling us to is one that's straight and narrow. And as far as the good way, yes, there are many blessings for following God's ways.
Yeah.
There are many blessings. And so we're at a crossroads. And I believe for us today, we've come here because we want to change.
Amen.
I raise my hand. How about you?
Amen.
I want to change.
Yeah.
I want to be a worker for the Lord. I don't have a Jamaican accent, but I could hear the Jamaicans sing that song. I want to be a worker for the Lord. And it's very humbling to understand what we're a part of. You know, when I see my son going to a Friday night Devo with 60 people, and he's singing and sharing scripture, and his heart is soft toward God, I'm very humbled. And I sent an email to Joe and Terry Willis in Australia because this is what they're begging God, that their 11-year-old twins, boy and girl, could be a part of something that's going to help them become Christians. That's why they're going to move from Australia to the United States, so that they could get discipled, so that they could give more people in Australia that chance, including their children. So I wrote them an email, and I said, I am so grateful and so humbled that God brought us from Syracuse so that we wouldn't get stuck living a stagnant Christian life. God has called us to move like the wind and to do whatever He wants, whenever He wants. And so now, for us, we want to be inspired. That's why we're here. We want to be challenged. Are you challenged?
Amen.
And we want to change.
Yeah.
And so, are we going to change for good? Or are we going to go backwards?
Uh-oh.
No way, Jose, right? We have to go forward. Are we going to hope? Is what we're doing just words? Or are we really going to do this and evangelize this city, this area, and be a part of evangelizing the world? And like Hebrews 10, are we going to shrink back and be destroyed, or be those who believe and are saved? God needs each of us. You know, there's a story of how all this great gathering came together, and everybody was called to bring some water into a big well. And since the group was so large, and everybody thought that someone else would do it, everyone came and just poured a drop, or half a cup, or barely anything, and some put nothing, because they thought everyone else would do it. And then when they looked at collectively what they had, there was hardly anything there. Because God needs all of our efforts. And we can't think, well, someone else will do it. You know, Barb will do it. Brittany will do it. Well, can't, you know what? God is calling each of us to do our part. If it's just a cup, then that's all it is. But to give it all. And to give it all for Him. Matthew 11, Jesus tells us how we're going to do this. And He says in verse 28, Matthew 11, come to Me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke. Learn from Me, for I am humble and heart and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and My burden is light. Wow. Nobody sacrificed more. Nobody denied Himself more. Nobody loved God or people more. Nobody did more than Jesus. And now He says, My yoke is easy. And what is the yoke? The yoke is what they put on the necks of animals so that they could do more work. So that they could pull a plow or wagon. A yoke was the symbol of hard work and obedience. I wish I had a yoke. I saw a woman teach a class and bring a yoke. So you could see your neck will be in a yoke with Jesus. Wow! That's challenging enough. How could I work like that? How could I sacrifice? How could I deny myself? How could I love the way He loved? How could I pour myself out? Am I going to die the way He died? Girl, I don't know what you're going to do. But you better get in that yoke and take one little step forward, and God will take your hand and lead you wherever you need to go. And you'll do whatever you need to do, and you'll be whoever you need to be.
Amen.
For God. You'll do it for God. And guess what? When your head hits the pillow at night, you will feel rested.
Oh, yeah.
I promise you, Psalm 127. Because these are just some of the benefits.
Yeah.
It is easier, and there is rest. Satan wants you to believe the opposite,
yes,
but you can't listen to him.
Yes.
Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain.
Amen.
Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early, stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Your rest will be more peaceful. The only way someone can fall away and say that they're really happier and better, I believe when someone falls away and says, I'm happier, they really are happier. They're happy. They are. In their minds, they're happy because they didn't want the yoke of Jesus. You know, Jesus is not saying put on the yoke of Chris Broom, put on the yoke of the leader. No. He said put on my yoke.
Right.
He said put on my yoke. I love what Chris Adams said. The most energy, the most fuel for a rocket is the first 6 inches that it takes up off that ground. Before we get to church, we need to be with God. And then let the earth shake. Because we're on our knees. We're praying. We're in our word. We're cut. We're getting our hearts ready. We're getting soft-hearted. So that when we come for worship, collectively, it's something powerful. We're just coming to church to take off and worship. But the real work is what we do alone with God. It's our prayer life. It's our Bible study.
Yeah.
It's got to be deep. It's got to be strong. It's got to shake us.
Yeah.
And then in turn, we shake God with our prayers. Let's look at Isaiah 30.
Amen.
These are the benefits. The benefits. The rest. Isaiah chapter 30. In verse 15, it says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength.
Amen.
You know what? I heard Andrew in his Jamaican accent. Fruit don't lie. Jesus don't lie. You know, God's word is the truth. Anything else, it's a lie.
Yeah.
And sadly, you know, that's what Satan is trying to get us to believe, but it's not true. God is calling us to repent. God is calling us to trust. He's calling us to trust and to be wholehearted about following him. You know, what do we have to repent of? Well, let's talk about what Satan's using against us. What about discouragement? Anyone feel discouraged? You know, I had the flu a couple weeks ago. Barb texted me, I hope you're not discouraged. The flu doesn't discourage me, honestly, because I feel like I get to do things that I normally don't do, like clean my house more and, you know, do things like that. Even though we're small, there's so much work to do. And when I don't feel like the work is getting done or getting done right, that could discourage me, personally. You know, what discourages you? We need so much encouragement. What does encouragement mean? It means literally to put courage into. Who needs more encouragement? You want more encouragement? Okay. So I have a challenge. The proverb says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. I'm going to tell you something. If you try to encourage someone else or refresh someone else, you will be encouraged too. It really works. We all need more encouragement. And I pray that 90% of our discipling is encouragement. Has anyone felt like quitting? This just too hard. I don't know if I can do this. I can't be like Jesus. I came to this city and I had a lot of zeal, but now my zeal is getting weary. And then, not to mention, there's plagues coming to our household. The plague of, how about bed bugs? The lice and the other critters. Or just finances. And those things wear us down. You know, it's like a boxer. Round number 7. Round number 8. And then Satan just gets you weary, worn out. And he's waiting for you to get weaker and weaker and weaker so he can give you the knockout punch. But I say now's not the time to quit. Now's not the time to quit. What we need is to have a Gethsemane prayer. Jesus didn't quit on us. He was tempted in every way just like us. I haven't given up in 30 years. You know, my husband says he's never been tempted ever to leave the church. I wish I had such a pure heart. I have been tempted, but I never, ever have. Because I remember I'm here for Jesus. If he didn't give up, I ain't giving up. I may fall down, but the proverb says, if you're righteous, even if you fall down 7 times, the Lord will pick you up again. I may be beat up, worn out, bit up, right? Whatever, but I am not going to quit. How about you? Because we're not doing it for men, we're doing it for God. And God doesn't quit on us. Don't ever, ever, ever give up. Some who've been heroes in the faith to me have given up. And because of that, now instead of the blessings, the rest, and the peace of God, they know turmoil. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 28. You've got to read this with me. Carrie Sue shared this scripture. And honestly, it resonated. Because in the world, according to Ephesians 4, people are just hard-hearted and they've lost all sensitivity. Yeah. And that's why they just continue sinning with a continual lust for more. Yeah. Because their hearts are hard. And they don't have spiritual sensitivity. Right. They don't realize they're sinning against God. Yeah. Or, like 1 Timothy 4:2 says, their conscience has been seared like with a hot iron. And you know what? To me, honestly, it gets me angry when people fall away from God, leave the church, and then they start blaming other people. Did you not know that there was some sin in the church? I'm in the church. Did I become Jesus? I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. But we're trying to repent and be useful to God, right? And when somebody leaves out of bitterness, well, they did this or they did that or, you know, I'm like, so that gave you a right to leave God? That gave you a right to leave God's people? Doesn't give us a right, it's an excuse. You found the door called an excuse. And you took that door. And not only did you take it, but you have poisoned other people on the way. And people leave because of sin. That's why they left. And, you know, look at this, Deuteronomy 28, verse 64. Because of the sin of God's people, it says, the Lord will scatter you among the nations. You will worship other gods, namely the god of money. Right? The god of money. You'll bow down to that god. Or you'll boyfriends and lovers, or the god of drugs and alcohol, and then you'll bow down to the porcelain god, because you'll be vomiting. You will. You will bow down to other gods. You are going to have to serve somebody. And if it ain't God Almighty, you're serving somebody. It's probably yourself. Money, drugs, alcohol, and meth. They served gods of wood. And you will have no repose, no resting place for the sole of your foot. You will have an anxious mind, eyes that are weary and longing, despairing heart. You will live in constant suspense, filled with dread night and day, never sure of your life. In the morning you'll say, if only it were evening. And in the evening, if only it were morning. You're not content with the time of day. You're not content with yourself. You're not content with what you have. You're always longing and wanting something else. Coveting, coveting, coveting. What do you want? You need a psychiatrist. You need a psychologist. You need God. But people are so stubborn, and women are so stubborn and stiff-necked, you don't go to God, and so God gives you over to this. Terror. And all kinds of issues and problems, but the issue is you. I ran into a woman yesterday who fell away. And I remember when she was faithful, it was a joke. It was a joke. Everyone would say, she never returns phone calls. It's not a joke. How in the world are you going to be useful to God, fruitful for God, a servant of God? Honey, you got to change. I said, I will call you tonight. And I did. Because I wanted to keep my word. But she didn't even pick up the phone. But that's no surprise. And who knows if she will call back. I don't know. Because God needs women who are going to change. Who is going to change for Him? To be useful. We can't be the same people. You know, when I sent the email to that couple in Australia, I said, we are not the same people that we were when we moved here. Because in order to get some work for God done, we have had to change. We have to change. And sisters, I'm going to say it right now. We have got to change again. We have to change again. Because those 3 years are over, baby. Serenara, say goodbye. They are gone. And now God says, you got 3 days ahead of you, 3 weeks, 3 months, three more years, and three more people to help. You can help three people. I don't know, whatever, one person. I don't know who. A lot of people. But you can't do it unless you change. I can't do it. I have to change. Do you feel spurred on?
Yeah.
Do you feel challenged?
Yeah.
Do you feel rebuked?
Yeah.
Do you feel like, come on, baby, change? I do too. Join the club. At least we can do it together.
Yeah.
But you read that, we don't even have time to dissect it. It sounds like a diagnosis.
Yeah.
And you know what? What the psychiatrist would say is, disorder, anxiety, or some other psychobabble, but the point is, people don't go to God. And they're not wearing the yoke of God, and so therefore, God gives them over to all this depravity of the mind. They're not right with God. And the only way you can live that way long term is if you become desensitized, Ephesians 4, hard-hearted, Ephesians 4, or, again, 1 Timothy 4, your conscience is seared. That is the only way you can live that way long-term. Because then you start believing the lie. That is the truth. Look with me at Haggai 1.
Come on,
I'm sorry, but I don't know if we'll have D group today because we're going to have to leave this building. But we're going to finish a couple scriptures. Haggai chapter 1. Hagail. Haggai used to be the name of Andrew and Patrick's dog. They wanted to get ready to have kids. So they thought, let's buy a dog. It was a lot of work. And they haven't had kids yet. Okay. Haggai, come to me, Haggai. Haggai chapter 1. This is God talking to his people. Verse 5. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but you harvest little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains, bring down timber, and build a house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? It's not that God doesn't want you to have nice things. When you read the chapter in context, God wants you to have nice things. He wants to bless you. But he wants you to put him first. He wants you to give honor to his name and put him first. You know what? I want to close by saying this. You make a difference. You make a difference. After I was sick with the flu and after all the acute ear pain and all the medicines for days, I watched this movie called Tears of the Sun. I recommend it. Look at Ashley. I love that movie. Tears of the Sun. It's a Bruce Willis movie, but it has a feminine touch. It's a great movie. At the end of the movie, they put a quote, and it said, "The only thing needed for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing." Wow. You're here for a reason. And if we take careful note, some of our sisters aren't here with us.
Yeah.
Why not? Well, you know, so you pray about it. And what 1 Thessalonians 5 says, some may be weak and they need help. Some are idle and lazy, and so therefore they need to be warned. Because we will not in this church sit around and do nothing.
Amen.
We want good men to rise up and lead us. And we as the women will follow them. And then we're going to lead our women. And we're not going to accept mediocrity in our church. Or dullness. And so, as 1 Thessalonians 5 says, encourage the timid, be patient with everyone. Anyone can change. But we're not here to play church. And so we need to have a biblical diagnosis. Where am I at? And where's my sister at? And what does she need? Does she need encouragement? Does she need strengthening? Or does she need to be warned? Does she need to be warned? And sisters, I'm going to ask you not to hold back.
Amen.
Do not hold back. Do not hold back. The only thing needed for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. You make a difference. It doesn't matter what spiritual condition you're in at this moment. My Bible says in 1 Samuel, Hannah was a woman sitting there with bitterness in her heart because God wouldn't give her a baby. And she prayed to God in her bitterness. And then we read about Samuel. A powerful man of God. Your prayers can make a difference. Even if you're in sin, be honest about it.
Yes.
I'm anxious. I'm bitter. I'm worried. I'm worldly. But we have to be honest.
Yes.
Her prayers made a difference. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Yes, she was a teenager, and she said, I am the Lord's servant. But then 30 years later, Jesus was in a circle in a house, and she was outside thinking he was crazy. He was in the house, but she was outside. Something was wrong, baby. She was not united with her son. But then she repented, and in Acts 1, she's praying with the rest, ushering in the kingdom. She made a difference. How about Lois and Eunice? The mother and grandmother of Timothy? My Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. So, if Lois was the grandmother, then she lived a long life. So, you may be seeing bed bugs and lice and other infirmities and other plagues in your household or whatever, finances. But I will tell you, so did Lois. No temptation has seized you, my sister. Lois went through some worse things. They didn't even have exterminator back in the day. They didn't have it. So we pray, and we'll close with prayer, that this is God's church. The men will lead. We will follow, but we will not be passive. We will not do nothing. What will we do? We're going to pray, we're going to repent, and we're going to be patient with everyone.
Amen.
We're going to make a biblical diagnosis, and then we're going to go to work. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.